Thanks, Luann. After the words in the songs that we sang this morning, as well as our prayer time, I think we kind of understand a little bit more about God's kingdom power in our lives and in the world around us. And I almost feel like I can shorten up my sermon a little bit because you kind of get it already, but I'm not going to do that. We're going to go through this and we're going to look at the passage in Ephesians. And after today, we'll have finished the first chapter in Ephesians. It's kind of a really neat passage that we're going to look at today. But I wanted to mention before we get into our sermon time that there are some of our youth that have ventured down to Alex, Alberta. That's Alex with an I, to be a part of the Emerge mentorship program. And so they took a van as well as a couple other vehicles and parents dropping their kids off. And they spent the whole weekend there doing things like a retreat of like a moments of silence. Like I think they make them not talk for like over an hour, and they stay off their phones and they do all these things and just immerse themselves in things like spiritual gifts inventories. And I think the first year students have to actually cook for everyone, which is always a little bit scary. I used to go to those retreats. And it's just kind of a really good time. And I was texting back and forth, like Matt, our youth director, is there with them right now, as well as Ellie is there with them too, leading them. But I was texting back and forth with Chad Brundage. He's a pastor out in Paradise Valley, a youth pastor. And he said they have 12 first-year students in the program, as well as the others, because it's a three-year program. And he said they're from 5 different churches within our network. And so it's just kind of an exciting time where churches are sending their youth and setting their youth up with mentors throughout the year to be able to be discipled and to be able to develop as leaders. And even in the midst of that, we also had our regular youth group time, and they were running around in the dark inside the church. But thankfully, no one got hurt seriously, and nothing was broken. And so it's just a really great weekend all around for our youth ministry. And so just be in prayer for those students as they go into and enter into that year of mentorship and leadership development and discipleship. And also that others will join into that venture as well as they develop themselves and are inviting others to disciple them in their journey with Jesus and to just to be solid Christians as they go through high school, as well as enter into those college years. So today we're talking about kingdom power. And kingdom power, what comes to your mind when you think about kingdom power? What comes to your mind when you think about power? And we all have these different perceptions of what power looks like. And I wanted to just kind of like help us to kind of imagine the power of something like a microscope or a telescope or something like that, where I have this, we have this like child's microscope. It's about that big, that helps me to get slivers out of my hand. Because, you know, as I get older, I need stronger, more powerful glasses and more powerful lenses to be able to see things like slivers. It's like, I can tell there's something there. I can feel it, but I don't know where to put the tweezers to pull that thing out. And you kind of like dig around for a while blindly. And then you kind of figure, well, maybe I need something a little stronger to be able to see it. And it also makes sense when I go to a restaurant, sometimes I forget to bring my glasses. And I'm like, I can't read this thing. This menu is just so small. They put it in fine print. And it's just kind of annoying, isn't it? Like, and I'm one of those guys now where I'm like, I don't know, I'll just order what I ordered last time. But then I can't remember what I ordered last time. And it's just so frustrating, isn't it? And then we were out for dinner with a friend a while back, and he forgot his glasses, but he brought his sunglasses, which were prescription. And he offered to let me borrow his prescription sunglasses. It was at night, and it was dark, but, you know, and I didn't take him up on it. I just kind of faked it. And just kind of, hey, what are you ordering? Okay, I'll get that too. And, you know, there's ways to work around it. But then you think about something like a telescope, right? A telescope is something where if you look through a powerful telescope at night when it's really dark, like in a dark field where there's no like ambient light from the city or anything like that, and you look up in the stars, suddenly you're like, well, there's way more stars than I thought there was. And suddenly things appear that weren't there before just to your normal eye, It's absolutely incredible with a powerful telescope, isn't it? And there was something that kind of dawned on me this morning. I have this compass that is that I have in my office, and there's lots of reasons why I have it there. But a compass is quite an incredible thing. Now, if you're under the age of 30, you're like, what's a compass? That's the thing that's on my phone. It's an app. Well, this is how we used to do it. And this is how we used to get unlost within the woods. And there was this thing called orienteering, I think it was, where we would go to camp and we'd learn how to use a compass and read a map. And it was like a paper map. And it didn't like have this little line that we follow and where we could just go or give us audible directions as we're going. There were many times where I was driving and I had no idea where I was going or whether I was going to get to where I wanted to go because I was completely lost. And actually did have to stop at a gas station to ask for directions. And they were like, I don't know. And you just had to figure it out. And you just had to be content with being somewhat lost because our phones didn't do that. And so with this compass, it has like it's kind of I brought this illustration up, but you can't even really see what it is. But in this, there is this arrow. It's a metal arrow and it has a small magnet inside it. And what it does is that magnet finds magnetic north. And so way up in the north of our globe, there is this magnetic pole. I'm not going to be very scientific here. I didn't do a huge amount of research. This is just by memory of, you know, grade 6 in orientation. And so there's this magnetic pole, and this small magnet within this needle finds that magnetic north. Now, if I have a magnet around me, it's going to pull it away from that, and then I can get lost. But as long as there's no magnets around, it's always going to point north, simply because of the power of that magnet and the way it just pulls and goes towards the north. And that's power. That's an illustration of power within the world, illustration of power in science and how they've been able to discover these things, to be able to utilize these things, to be able to see things that we wouldn't be able to see, or to be able to get slivers out that we wouldn't be able to get, or to be able to get to places where we wouldn't be able to find if it weren't for some of these things and some of these powerful forces and powerful things that we can be able to utilize within our lives. And what more is the power of the kingdom of God within our lives? And so we're looking through the book of Ephesians. We're going to look at verses 15 to 23. And I wanted to just review just a teeny bit, because in the book of Ephesians, it's kind of three parts. So the first part is the work of Christ to reconcile us to God. And we're still in that aspect of the book. And then we're going to move on towards the unity of all people in the church. But that's a theme that kind of goes throughout, but it gets a little more strong of an emphasis a little bit later in the book. And then also how Christians should live their life is kind of towards the end of the book. We've learned about how we're saints and we're adopted and how we have this inheritance within our lives when we follow Jesus. And so that kind of builds us to where we are now in verse 15 all the way to verse 23. I'm just going to read it out for you. You can follow it up on the screen. I believe we have it up there. It says this: "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet, appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." You see, when we have Jesus in our lives, we have the kingdom and its power within us through the Holy Spirit, the Creator, the Father, and the Son that give us power. The power helps us to be more like Jesus. It requires faith and love and wisdom and surrender to God's love. Let's go back to verse 15 and 16 where it says, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus, your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." Keywords here are faith and love. Ephesus was a major hub of, in that time, a hub of trade, a hub of power, political power, religious power. And it was the epicenter of a lot of things within the world of Paul's time. And for believers to choose Jesus in the context above all the other options that there were available to them, Paul was so thankful for that. He was so thankful that they chose Jesus, that they chose to have faith. But more than that, that their faith was also driven by love towards each other, love towards their fellow human beings. And there was a love for fellow believers being mentioned. And it could possibly be that Paul knew some of the believers were at one point at odds with each other in their religious beliefs, their political beliefs, their trade beliefs and their economy. And now as they follow Jesus, they are now united together and they're loving each other and they're showing and showering love towards each other. And Paul is witnessing the transformative power that goes counter to what is normal in people's lives. That when they follow Jesus, there's this transformation that happens, and Paul is just excited to be able to witness the transformative power of God in people's lives as they follow Jesus. Verse 17, it says, "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us to believe." Now, in some translations, it says instead of that you may know him better, it's that you may have understanding of the mystery. Because, you see, there's a sense of mystery that we have within our faith in Jesus, isn't there? I mean, if we read the scriptures, it's pretty plain, it's pretty simple. But then we get into the complications of life, and suddenly it's like, wow, this, I need a little more insight in this to be able to really apply this to my life and to what's happening in the world right now. And what we would call that is wisdom. Wisdom to be able to know Jesus more. Wisdom to be able to know the mysteries of God a little bit more. Wisdom to know what happens behind the scenes. What happens on in the spiritual realm, even, according to Scripture. You see, wisdom is something that is very admirable, isn't it? When we're around somebody who is wise, we're like, we just want to be around them more and more often. Because it's something where they seem to have this understanding of what sometimes feels a little bit hidden to us. I've been in meetings where people who were revered for wisdom and sometimes it was warranted to be able to want to listen to them. And when they spoke or when they prayed, people listened. And what happened was there was an increase of wisdom that happened within the room as they spoke. That the intelligence of the room raised because when they spoke, people listened and they got smarter, right? There was a peace and a calm oftentimes that would happen in the room as they prayed or as they spoke. There were challenges that happened in that context because people were challenged to be able to want to be more wise, to want to follow Christ more, to want to think through and look at things in a different light. And there was a focus and there was a vision that was inspiring and that was almost life-changing at times. And it's not about that person, but it was about the wisdom that they had gained from God that they were sharing with us. And then the Holy Spirit empowers them and empowers us to be able to change, to transform, to be renewed. And friends, that is what wisdom does. That is what the power of God and the wisdom of God does within our lives. Because you see, I've also been in meetings or gathering where wisdom was assumed and yet maybe wasn't present. And it was a little more hidden than it could have been. And where people were a little more reliant on the leader instead of empowered by the leader. Where people had a little bit more anxiety or a false sense of peace at times, or there was a challenge looked a lot like control or shame or guilt or fear, where focus was a little bit more chaotic or polarizing, and there wasn't as much unity and agreement in the room. It doesn't mean that is exactly what's happening, but that's the experience that I have had sometimes, and where the vision may have been inspiring in that moment, but it didn't really take in people's lives. And that happens all the time, even when there is wisdom in the room. But sometimes where it's just like, oh, that was a great event. And then you go home and it's like, what did they say again? I don't remember. What happened there again? Oh, I don't remember. But it was fun, but I don't remember what happened. And friends, sometimes what that indicates is that maybe there was this charisma, or there was this eloquent, polished presentation, or maybe even authoritative, and you're like, oh yeah, let me have it. But instead of focusing on all the beauty of that presentation, it's like, wait a minute, the lyrics didn't line up with the event. Because it's the lyrics, it's the words, it's the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit that impacts our lives. Now, don't go home thinking, hey, I don't remember what the pastor said last Sunday. Maybe he doesn't have a lot of wisdom. Please don't think that. Like, it's not that black and white. It's not that clear cut, right? But it's one of those things where it isn't just the wisdom of the person in the room, but it might be our receptivity. It might be just, you know, we're just not necessarily feeling it today, right? Those things are all factors in it. I'm not just trying to convince you, but it's one of those things where I think we kind of know sometimes where we're in this event, we're listening to these words, and it's like, ah, that was exciting, but I don't know if it really resonates where God is leading me or where God is leading us in this present moment. And friends, when we realize that, we can call it criticism or critical thinking, but sometimes it's just absolute wisdom thinking, you know, I don't sense that that's where God is leading us. And maybe we need to listen. Maybe I need to listen. Maybe we all need to come together and listen to God a little bit more to discern, where is God leading us? What is God doing in our lives? And sometimes to be able to ask the question, is what that person is saying, is it focused on truth of Scripture? Is it focused on the truth of Jesus? And do their words match up with truth and reality? Do their words and their character and their actions line up with Jesus? Because when they do, it's like, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I like that. Unless we don't want to follow Jesus, then we're like, no, I don't like that. That's too much, right? But then we're not acting out of wisdom. We're acting out of our own reaction. You see, wisdom is something that is discovered. It's that the wisdom of the Holy Spirit is something that we need to pursue. And it's something that is generally hidden from the world in many ways. But then it's discovered through Jesus. It's discovered through Scripture. It's discovered through listening to each other and to others. It's discovered in truth. It's discovered in a greater purpose of not just ourselves, but the greater good. It might be the greater good of our church, of our community, of our city, of our country, of our world. But wisdom of the Holy Spirit always brings us back and always looks like Jesus. Always, always. And if you're listening to somebody who is speaking in the name of the Lord and is speaking with great authority and is a great presenter and with great charisma, but you're like, wow, but I don't sense that they really look like Jesus, that they really act like Jesus, then friends, question that. Question that. Because it's important for us to question that. And not that we question everybody and we're always suspicious and all those sorts of things. Question it in love, absolutely. But sometimes we need to question leaders. Sometimes we need to hold leaders accountable. And a leader that isn't willing to be held accountable is a leader who may not be walking in the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. Because if there's wisdom, wisdom also knows that we are not perfect. Wisdom also knows, when we're wise, we also know that we will make mistakes. We also know that we could be led just a little bit off course. And wisdom also takes time to listen to people of all walks of life, all capacity. Because when we listen, well, we get smarter, but we also get more wise. And truth be told, you also look a little more wise when you listen. Because the thing is, there's also a stewardship of the wisdom, of the truth that we hold. And the power that we have through Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And the truth of, and how we use that truth and how we present that truth and how we invite others into that truth is all a stewardship of the power that God has entrusted to us. You see, we all have power to be able to influence. We all have skills. We all have position. We all have resources. Each and every one of us has power within our lives. And how we use that power needs to be reconciled with the Holy Spirit. I'll get to that in a little bit. But each of us has power. So let's talk a little bit more about that power in the last part of verse 19 to 21. The power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power, dominion, every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. So friends, there is that power, and that power that God gives us within our lives, that power that we are adopted into and that we inherit, and that power of the kingdom of God that far exceeds the power that exists within this world. And there's an essence of that power where we, essentially some people have used that power because God doesn't necessarily just like cut it off. But sometimes we misuse that power, or we're misguided in how we steward that power. Instead of using it for something that is unifying for the greater purpose and the greater good of the faith community, the greater good of God's kingdom. And so there's boundaries within that power and some of the ethics of that power that we have, because sometimes it's not just the power, but it's utilizing the power that we think that we have to be able to power over other people, when really it's about inspiration and inspiring other people and empowering other people as the Holy Spirit empowers us. Hopefully this is making sense a little bit. If not, let's keep going and maybe it'll land and it'll stick a little bit more. You see, it talks about the resurrection power. And you need to understand that that is the greatest demonstration of God's power. Now, he created us, absolutely. He created the world, he created the heavens, the earth, and the universe. Absolutely. That is the ultimate. But then Jesus' demonstration of the power of the resurrection, the power over death, because death is something that is inevitable. And so Jesus' power over death, his resurrection power, was the greatest demonstration of that time towards those people, towards us, of God's power over death, God's power over sin, God's power to redeem the world, to bring us towards him. It was done for us, and it's brought to us. Now, there's this whole dominion aspect, and that there's this power that comes with authority and this kingdom authority. And again, it comes down to stewardship. It comes down to aligning our will with God's will and being close to Jesus and understanding the nature of that power, the essence of that power, and the dominion and the authority of that power. And it's spiritual power and spiritual authority. And there's so many times as we read the news right now and everything like that, we feel so powerless of what's happening in the world, don't we? So powerless. And it's so easy to I was searching I was going to search for Costco and do some shopping online, and it came up CTV News, and I just clicked it, and it was like, and then I got sucked into the news for like an hour, and then I realized, what was I doing? And it's just, it's so enticing to read the news right now. And yet every time we read the news, we feel less and less powerful, don't we? To control what's happening in our world right now. Because it just feels like it's so out of control. It's so chaotic. And what we thought was reasonable is no longer reasonable. But friends, here's the thing. Just because we feel powerless doesn't mean we are powerless. Because you don't think that it's just about people making decisions and doing whatever they want. But friends, there's also a spiritual authority that they're not recognizing. That there is an account, that there is a God who is mightier than them. That there is a God who is still on his throne in his kingdom. And I'm going to give you an illustration just a little bit in our next section of what that really looks like. But you see, there is a power that we have in Jesus. And that power is that it happens on our knees. It happens as we pray. And that there is this eternal focus, a focus on and purpose is not today or tomorrow, but on eternity. And that is the true power that there is in the kingdom of heaven and within our world. So verse 22, and God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. How do you imagine God's power? Isaiah 66, verse 1 gives us an illustration. It says this. This is what the Lord says. Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Heaven is my throne and the earth is my... So imagine this. So this huge, vast heaven, huge God who uses the earth as his footstool. That doesn't mean it's not important. I mean, I really cherish my footstool. It just makes things more comfortable, right? I don't have a lazy boy in my house. It just doesn't fit with our aesthetic. But I have this little ottoman and footstool thing, and it makes things more comfortable for everyone. And sometimes I share it, sometimes I don't. But imagine a God who is sitting on his throne and is so powerful and so big that the earth is his footstool. And that is the God that I believe in. That is the God that I follow. That is the God who redeemed me. That is the God who lives in me. What am I so worried about? There's an empowerment in that, isn't there? There is an empowerment. It doesn't mean that bad things won't happen to me, around me. But it does mean that God is still on his throne and the earth is still his footstool. Friends, that gives us hope, doesn't it? That gives us hope of how big God is. Because here's the thing. I learned this from my friends Matt and Ben, where they said, God's love always reckons with power. God's love always reckons with power. That no matter how bad things get, God's love will reckon it. It might not be today, it might not be tomorrow. But friends, we're eternally focused of a God who is so big that our earth is his footstool. God's power is what's important, not ours. God's will is what's important, not ours. And our job is to align ourselves with his will as we lean into his power, as we lean into his love and experience him. But at the end, God's love reckons, especially when it doesn't look like Jesus. And we'll face situations where it's like, God, where is that reckoning? I need a reckoning, right? But at the same time, God's love will reckon. And as we pray and as we enter into prayer, as we enter into the power of God, suddenly we feel more empowered, even when we don't necessarily sense that we have power, but we feel empowered. And it's a surrendering to God's love that brings us there. You see, when power, true power, is experienced, here's what happens. First thing is, secret sins are put to death. Because when you experience God's power, it can't exist in a sinful environment. Because it wins over the sinful environment. And so sinful sins are put to rest. And that's what happens when there's renewal and revival and transformation in our lives or in communities. But here's the thing. It's not something where it's like it happens because there's a huge amount of pressure from people. Or the thing is, it's always met with grace of God's people because we're like, yeah, God has liberated us from that secret sin. God has liberated us from those things that are happening in our lives that are keeping us from God. And it's led by the Spirit, not by others who are forcing us into it. But that's the power of God within our lives. When we experience the power of God, it brings us to a place of prayer. It brings us to a place of prayer that we recognize, man, you know, this power that I sense that's within me, I don't sense it when I'm not praying. I don't sense it when I'm not close to God. And so I want to be closer to God, which means I want to pray more. I want to read scripture more. I want to spend more time with God because it just empowers me in my life. And it brings us to prayer often and passionately and desperately and compellingly from God. One of the things that we're going to be doing on March 5th, can you believe March 5th is already going to be Ash Wednesday, the beginning of Lent. We're already preparing for Easter. Feels like Christmas just finished. In fact, you know, I was like, oh, I miss Christmas music. And then I forgot that, oh yeah, Christmas, I can't listen to those anymore. but we're about to enter in Lent. And one of the things that sometimes we do in Lent, like we observe that and we take 40 days. And for some of us, we'll give something up. Like, you know, for those of us who are really spiritual, you'll give up coffee. That's not my thing. Or you'll give up chocolate or sweets, or sometimes you'll just, you know, skip one of the meals a day and just focus on prayer. And the idea is not to like go on a diet, but the idea is to focus on Jesus as we give something up within our lives and to prepare our hearts for Easter, celebration of the remembrance of the death of Jesus and the celebration of his resurrection. And it's just a beautiful time that prepares our hearts and just makes it that much more meaningful. And one of the things that we're going to do is we're going to do 40 days of prayer. And we're going to give out some bookmarks for those of you who still use paper books. Maybe you want to put in your wallet, whatever. But and it's just going to have just a guide for you. And we're going to focus on the Lectio 365 app again. And just to be able to join our hearts together as a faith community in prayer in preparation for Easter. And I think one of the challenges might be just to say, hey, as you pray, like just pray for that empowerment of the Holy Spirit within your lives and to experience God and to be drawn closer to God as he draws near to you and you draw near to him. And it might be a beautiful thing. And so One of the things that we just want to do is to draw towards God in prayer as a faith community. Because as we do, there are these hidden things in our lives, hidden things in the world. And not that we're trying to hide them, but God reveals to us a greater level of understanding and wisdom as we seek Him, as we pursue Him. And that's part of that empowerment of the Holy Spirit that Paul talks about, where we understand the words and the works and the ways of Jesus in a stronger way or in a renewed way, where it's a little bit less mysterious and we've become a part, and it becomes a part of who we are. As we draw closer to Jesus, He honors that. He draws closer to us, and we learn new things and we experience new things in different ways and have sometimes a different perspective on life. You see, when we have Jesus in our life, we have the kingdom and its power within us. And through the Spirit and the Father, the Creator, and the Son, we are given this power in our lives. The power helps us to be more like Jesus. It requires faith, love, wisdom, and surrender to God's love. Some questions just to ponder as we close our time together. First one is, how can I seek more of God's wisdom in my life? How can I seek more of God's wisdom in my life? Secondly, how does my view of power align with Jesus? How does my view of power align with Jesus in my own life and in the life of those around me? Thirdly, what does power look like for a follower of Jesus? What does power look like for a follower of Jesus? Ask that for yourself. Ask that for others. Ask that for leaders who are around you. And fourthly, what is one step that you can take right now to seek the wisdom and power of Jesus in your life? One step. Just think of one. You can build it up to three, but just start with one. Let's pray together. God, we thank You so much for the words of Paul that remind us that You are huge, that You are powerful, that You are mighty. And God, help us to recognize not just that You will reconcile everything and all that kind of stuff, but help us to, with our own lives, embrace that power. Power over whatever we're going through. It might be sin. It might be habits. It might be attitude. It might be anxiety. It might be relational challenges that we face. God, help us to lean on You. Help us to seek more wisdom in our lives, to be able to understand on a deeper level, a greater level of what Your power looks like within our lives and within the world. God, help us to reconcile our view of power so that it looks like Your love. So God, help us to live in faith and love and wisdom. Help us to surrender to You so that You would help us to embrace, to live in, to understand the power